Well, we are excited to have the Tongs with us today. Our very special guests. I had the privilege, and I can go ahead and invite you guys to come on up. I had the special privilege of going to have coffee with them. Actually, Kevin and I had coffee. They just kind of watched us drink our coffee. But I got to meet them, and I've grown up in the church, so to speak. I have been in churches where missionaries have come through time and time again to present their field. I've seen all the tear-jerking videos I could probably stomach, and I've heard every pitch that you could know or give in a church to help raise support. But this was the first time I've met a couple who, listening to their testimony, actually reached me to my heart, where I actually had to fight kind of, you know, having to cry. I wasn't going to do that because I'm a man and men don't cry. But I was having to fight it, because just listening to the power of God in the situation and the story that they presented just reached me in a way that hasn't happened for a long time. And so I thank you for allowing God to use your story to minister to me. And I know that it's going to be a very special blessing to you all too. So I want to pray for you guys that the Holy Spirit would be just active in our time together. And then we'll let you take it from here, all right? Father, I just thank you for friends and family in the church, God, who we don't even know. They're all over the world, God, and that you're using them in such a powerful way. And I thank you for these new friends that we've met today. God, I pray that your Spirit would just fill them now, give them boldness and clarity to speak what you've laid on their heart, to cast a vision for Thailand and the area surrounding, God, that you want to do work there. Father, I just pray that as your church, we would be in unity today, God, and we would just be in agreement with what your Spirit is doing in their lives, and that we could come alongside of them and help them in their mission to follow your call in their lives, God. So I pray now that you would be with them as they speak in our hearts, that they'd be open to hear the word from you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Good morning, church. Thank you for today, and we are excited to tell what God has put in our life and call our family. You guys hear about tongue, you know, is tongue here? Mean when you grill or cooking, you use tongue to pick the food or whatever.
Barbecue tongue,
yeah.
Tongue.
I didn't know for a while, but my wife like explained to me, because my English is still bad. And yep, we want to do our family. My real name is Sakun Thong, and anybody can call me Gun, whatever, and it's not mine for me. And I'm born in Cambodia and grow up in Cambodia. I've been here 9 years now. And my wife, Danielle, she's from Flint, Michigan. And we have two children, my son almost five, and my son Judah almost five, and my daughter Eden 2.5. And we not met online or you know, on the phone.
Which is fine too.
And we met in Cambodia, and my wife, she went to Cambodia for mission, you know, serving God, but she found me. And we worked together at the church, and we fall in love, and then get the point, and then I came here to married her. And right now, because before we get married, we's like, what's going on in our life? And we sit down and we talk, what God put in your heart, and we share each other our heart, what God put in our heart. And both of them, we do the same page, and God been put in the heart to do mission, to outreach people. And they say, that's great. Okay, let's go get married, and we can do mission. And right now, we are married and have two kids, and God called us back to Eastern Thailand.
So I just wanted to share a little bit about my story. But before we do that, I was going to have my husband pray in his language.
Let's pray together. ជាស្ដាប្រងទ្រង់ជាព្រះបានត្រាស់ហើយយើងទាំងអស់គ្នានៅថ្ងៃនេះដើម្បីថ្វាយបង្គំព្រះជាម្ចាស់ថ្វាយសិរីរុងរឿងដល់ព្រះអង្គបើទ្រង់ជាព្រះតែមួយគត់ដែលយើងថ្វាយបង្គំគ្មានព្រះឯណាដែលធំជាងព្រះអង្គឡើយព្រះអង្គឲ្យសូមអរព្រគុណទ្រង់សម្រាប់ពេលវេលានេះសូមឲ្យព្រះបានដឹកនាំយើងជាពិសេសសូមឲ្យអ្វីដែលយើងចែកចាយជាមួយគ្នាសូមឲ្យព្រះវិញ្ញាណបរិសុទ្ធរបស់ព្រះជាម្ចាស់បានយកយើងជាឧបករណ៍ដើម្បីបំពេញបំណងកិច្ចរបស់ព្រះជាម្ចាស់ដើម្បីចែកចាយការទាំងអស់នេះដើម្បីឲ្យបងប្អូនទាំងអស់បានយល់ដឹងព្រះម្ចាស់ជាព្រះដែលមានប្រជញ្ញគង់នៅព្រះអង្គហើយសូមអរព្រគុណទ្រង់នៃសេចក្តីស្រឡាញ់របស់ព្រះជាម្ចាស់ក្នុងព្រះនាមព្រះយេស៊ូវគ្រីស្ទអេមែន
អេមែន So I'm Danielle. As Gun said, we have two kids. I was born and raised, homegrown right here in Flint, Michigan. Well, I know we're in Clio, but it's close. And I was raised in a pretty broken home. My parents were divorced when I was three. I went to church every once in a while with my grandma. Went and colored on the bulletin type of thing. And as I was growing up, didn't really have much interest in God whatsoever. My brother, who is 4 years older than me, when I was in middle school, he was in high school. And so I watched him go through the party scene and the girls and the drinking and all that. And when I was in eighth grade, he was a freshman in college. And all of a sudden, he came home one night and he was totally different. He wasn't cussing. He didn't come home drunk. He didn't have a girl. And I'm like, what happened to my brother? And that night he had gotten saved at a church. And right after he had gotten saved, he had turned to his friend and he said, I got to get Danielle in here. And so that very next Sunday, he started bringing me to church every single Sunday. And at first it was a social thing for me. But then one Sunday, my freshman year in high school, I was up at the altar and God just smacked me in the face. And his presence came over me, and I cried and I cried and I cried, and I walked out of that church different. And I didn't even know what happened. I couldn't explain it to you or show you scriptures as to what happened in my heart that day, but I just felt clean and new. And I didn't know, I just knew God had changed my life. That's all I knew. And from that day forward, for me, it was one and the same. I just knew that God was calling me in the future for missions. And I, again, couldn't explain that to you or really didn't even know what that was or what that meant. But I just knew that one day I was going to be a missionary. It was just very matter of fact for me. And so when I was 21 years old, I got on a plane all by myself and I flew to Battambang, Cambodia, his hometown. And I served there for 10 months under another missionary family that had been there for many years. That's when we had met and fallen in love. So,
and for me, I'm grow up in Buddha. I would like to share, and my wife will translate. Would you rather walk home? Can you put us now?
I grew up and I was born and raised in a Buddhist family.
I can find that work group by young time. You don't get up and take your module getting no day.
I was always following after the generations of my family in the Buddhist religion, but I really didn't understand much of why we were doing what we were doing.
ហើយភាគច្រើនពេលខ្ញុំនឹងគ្រួសារទៅថ្វាយបង្គំពុទ្ធសាសនាហើយខ្ញុំតែងតែឆ្ងល់ក្នុងចិត្ត.
Many days we would go to the temple, but I was always wondering in my heart.
មិនថាហេតុអីបានជាយើងថ្វាយបង្គំព្រះដែលអត់មានកាយវិការមកលើនិយាយមកលើយើង.
I would sit there as we were praying and I would wonder, why are we worshiping a God who can't even move?
ប៉ុន្តែខ្ញុំអត់និយាយប្រាប់ណាខ្ញុំទុកតែក្នុងចិត្តរបស់ខ្ញុំ.
I just kept this in my heart that I wouldn't offend anyone.
ហើយខ្ញុំធ្វើតាមគេរហូតដល់ខ្ញុំអាយុ16ឆ្នាំ.
I lived like this until I was 16 years old.
ហើយនៅក្នុងកំឡុងឆ្នាំនោះគឺឪពុករបស់ខ្ញុំក៏មានចំនួនរកថវិកាបានគ្រប់គ្រាន់.
And at that time, my father had 3 businesses, and so we were doing very well financially for our family.
ប៉ុន្តែយើងមានគ្រប់ថវិកាគ្រប់គ្រាន់ប៉ុន្តែគ្រួសារយើងចាប់ផ្ដើមមានការបាក់បែកគ្នា.
We had plenty of money, but our family relationships were very broken.
ហើយនៅពេលនោះយើងចាប់ផ្ដើមរកទៅព្រះពុទ្ធសាសនាអធិដ្ឋានដើម្បីឲ្យព្រះពុទ្ធសាសនាជួយគ្រួសារយើង.
So because of these, we were trying to pray and to chant and to do more in the Buddhist religion to have the gods appease us.
ហើយនៅពេលនោះជីវិតរបស់ខ្ញុំចាប់ផ្ដើមផ្លាស់ប្រែខ្ញុំចង់រកអ្វីដើម្បីឲ្យខ្ញុំសប្បាយចាប់ផ្ដើមប្រើគ្រឿងញៀនហើយនឹងក្រៅស្រា.
And I ended up even turning outside of the Buddhist religion and I turned to drugs and alcohol to numb that pain.
ហើយយើងធ្វើគ្រប់បែបយ៉ាងទាំងអស់លទ្ធផលគឺអត់មានមកលើគ្រួសារ.
We were were doing all of these things, but never once did we see something good come of it.
ហើយនៅថ្ងៃមួយនោះឪពុករបស់ខ្ញុំបានមករកខ្ញុំនិយាយរកខ្ញុំដើម្បីឲ្យខ្ញុំជាអ្នកដឹកនាំគ្រួសារ
And one day my father came to me. He was so desperate that he wanted to hand me the spiritual responsibility, the headship of our family.
ហើយនៅពេលដួងចិត្តរបស់ខ្ញុំខ្ញុំគិតថាខ្ញុំចង់ជួយគ្រួសាររបស់ខ្ញុំហើយខ្ញុំប្រាប់គាត់ថាខ្ញុំចង់ទទួលហើយនឹងធ្វើ
So because I wanted to help my family, I accepted.
ហើយនៅពេលនោះខ្ញុំព្យាយាមធ្វើគ្រប់បែបយ៉ាងជាមួយព្រះពុទ្ធសាសនាតែលទ្ធផលគឺអត់មានដដែល
I did everything I could in the Buddhist religion, going to the temple 4 or 5 times a day for 3 months, but nothing.
ហើយថ្ងៃមួយគ្រួសាររបស់យើងជុំគ្នាហើយយើងញ៉ាំបាយជាមួយគ្នា
So one day we were sitting and eating dinner together.
ហើយយើងពិភាក្សាថាអ្វីដែលយើងជឿលើព្រះពុទ្ធសាសនាគឺអត់មានប្រយោជន៍
We were discussing these things how we weren't seeing the Buddhist religion help us.
ហើយយើងគ្រួសាររបស់យើងសម្រេចចិត្តជាមួយគ្នាថាយើងឈប់ទទួលជឿ
And that day as a family we decided to completely abandon the Buddhist religion.
ហើយយើងរស់នៅតាមអ្វីដែលចិត្តយើងចង់ធ្វើប៉ុន្តែយើងសម្លឹងមើលអ្វីមួយផ្សេងទៀតដែលអាចជួយយើងបាន
We just decided to live after our own heart and desire, but for me I was still looking for something to help us.
ហើយយើងរស់នៅរបៀបបែបហ្នឹងអស់រយៈពេល2ឆ្នាំ
We lived like that for 2 years.
2ឆ្នាំក្រោយមកមានជនបរទេសមកគ្រួសារមកជួបផ្ទះឪពុករបស់ខ្ញុំ
And after those 2 years, there was an American family who came to my city and rented my father's house.
ហើយគាត់នោះគឺជាបេសកជនតែពួកយើងអត់ដឹង
They were a missionary family, but we didn't even know what missionaries were.
ហើយថ្ងៃមុនដំបូងឪពុករបស់ខ្ញុំហើយនឹងខ្ញុំដើរទៅសួរសុខទុក្ខគាត់នៅផ្ទះតើមានអ្វីឲ្យយើងអាចជួយបាន
So after their first night there, we went and made sure everything was going well for them.
ហើយនៅពេលដែលខ្ញុំដើរចូលទៅខ្ញុំជួបអ្នកយាមខ្ញុំសួរសុខទុក្ខអ្នកយាម
And when we arrived at their house at their gate, I met with their guard who they had hired to help take care of the grounds.
ហើយនៅពេលដែលខ្ញុំកំពុងតែនិយាយជាមួយអ្នកយាមខ្ញុំក៏លេចទៅលើតុរបស់គាត់គាត់មានសភៅមួយយ៉ាងក្រាស់ដាក់នៅលើតុរបស់គាត់
And as I was talking to the guard, I looked in his little room and I saw a really thick book on his bed.
ហើយខ្ញុំសួរថាសភៅអីក្រាស់ម្ល៉េះនៅលើតុរបស់អ្នក
And I asked him, "What is that really thick book on your bed?"
គាត់ថានេះគឺជាព្រះគម្ពីរ
He told me it was his Bible.
ហើយខ្ញុំសុំគាត់ថាសុំមើលបានទេ
And I asked him if I could look at it.
គាត់ថាបានយកមកមើលទៅ
He said, "Yeah, sure, go ahead."
ហើយនៅពេលដែលខ្ញុំយកមកកាន់សភៅក្រាស់បែបនេះខ្ញុំមិនដែលកាន់សភៅក្រាស់បែបនេះក្នុងមួយជីវិតរបស់ខ្ញុំ
And as I held that book in my hand, I realized I had never held a book that thick in my entire life.
ហើយខ្ញុំមិនដឹងថាចាប់ផ្ដើមបើកមើលពីកន្លែងណាទេពីព្រោះវាក្រាស់ពេក
I had no idea where to turn it to because there were so many pages.
ហើយខ្ញុំក៏បើកចាប់ផ្ដើមបើកហើយឈប់នៅកន្លែងមួយ
So I ended up just flipping through.
ហើយឈប់នៅចំនៅក្នុងម៉ាថាយជំពូក6ខ25
And I ended up landing on Matthew chapter 6 verse 25.
ហើយដល់និយាយថាកុំឲ្យព្រួយបារម្ភអំពីម្ហូបអាហារសម្លៀកបំពាក់
It says, "Don't worry about today or tomorrow, the food you will eat or the clothes you will wear."
ហើយខ្ញុំក៏បတ်ហើយជូនទៅគាត់វិញ
And I closed it and I gave it back to him.
ហើយជូនបរទេសឃើញខ្ញុំជាមួយពុករបស់ខ្ញុំគាត់ក៏បានចាញ់មកសួរសុខទុក្ខយើងភ្លាម
And at that moment, the missionary in the house, he came out to greet us.
ហើយអ្វីដែលគាត់ចាញ់ពីមាត់របស់គាត់បន្តពីគាត់សួរសុខទុក្ខយើងគឺព្រះបន្ទូលដែលគាត់តាមទៅនឹងអាននិយាយមករកខ្ញុំ
And the very next words out of his mouth was the very verse that I had just read in his guard's Bible.
ហើយខ្ញុំសម្លឹងគាត់ខ្ញុំមើលគាត់ទៅនឹងភ្នែកខ្ញុំថាខ្ញុំស្គាល់អាហ្នឹងអ្វីដែលអ្នកនិយាយ
And I looked him right in the eyes and I said I know those words I know
គាត់ឆ្ងល់ថាអ្នកឯងដឹងមកពីណា
He couldn't believe it he said where have you heard those words
ខ្ញុំថាខ្ញុំទៅតែអានពីសភុអ្នកយាមរបស់អ្នកឯង
And I told him I just read those words out of your guard's Bible
ហើយគាត់ចាប់ផ្ដើមសួរថាអ្នកឯងស្គាល់ព្រះយេស៊ូវអត
់ So he started to ask me do you know Jesus
ខ្ញុំថាខ្ញុំអត់ដែរស្គាល់ព្រះយេស៊ូវទេ
I said I've never even heard of Jesus
ហើយគាត់សួរម្ដងទៀតថាអ្នកឯងចង់ស្គាល់ព្រះយេស៊ូវជាអ្នកណាអត់
So he asked me, "Do you want to know who Jesus is?"
ហើយមួយរំពេចនោះខ្ញុំដឹងថាខ្ញុំចង់ដឹងថាព្រះយេស៊ូវជាអ្នកណា
And I knew in my heart I wanted to know who Jesus is.
ពីព្រោះអរិយពេល2ឆ្នាំគឺយើងសម្លឹងមើលអ្វីមួយទៀតដែលអាចជួយជីវិតរបស់ខ្ញុំហើយនឹងគ្រួសារ
Because for those 2 years I was looking and searching for something that could help me and my family.
ហើយក្នុងកំឡុង2ឆ្នាំនោះពេលយប់ជាច្រើនគឺខ្ញុំគេងខ្ញុំយំ
There were nights in those 2 years that I would just lay in bed and cry at night.
ពីព្រោះខ្ញុំគ្មានអ្នកណាអាចជួយជីវិតរបស់ខ្ញុំបាន
Because there was nobody who could come to my rescue.
ហើយខ្ញុំមិនចង់គិតអំពីថ្ងៃស្អែកពីព្រោះថ្ងៃស្អែកខ្ញុំដឹងថាខ្ញុំនឹងធ្វើអ្វីមួយអាក្រក
់ I didn't want to think about the next day because I knew it was going to be even worse than today.
ហើយនៅពេលដែលខ្ញុំឮព្រះនាមព្រះយេស៊ូវខ្ញុំចង់ដឹងថា
But when I heard the name of Jesus, I wondered, why did they come all this way to tell me about this God named Jesus? And so I asked him to teach me about Jesus. And he invited me over to teach. And we started to study the Bible together. And we studied for 3 months. When I went to study the Bible with him, I was living the same life outside. And we studied from creation all the way to Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. So one day when I was at home by myself, I decided I was going to pray to this God named Jesus. Because I wanted to know if he was the real God. Because all those years I had spent praying to Buddha, I never heard a response or an answer from him. So I prayed a simple prayer. Jesus, if you're the one true God, please give me a hope that I can't find anywhere else. And that second, I ended that prayer. A feeling I've never had in my entire life filled my heart, and a hope came in and changed me. This joy started bubbling out of me. I didn't know where this joy came from. Because my life was a mess and my family was broken. So I continued to pray. I prayed, Jesus, if you're who just gave me this feeling in my heart, please change me and my life in ways I can't do myself. And that second, it was like I looked down. I could even see the light coming out from
him.
It was like my whole life and heart was new. The joy continued to bubble out even stronger. If somebody would have seen me, they would have thought I was crazy. And I knew that this meant that Jesus was the one true living God. And I totally opened my heart to him that day. But in the very moment, my mind and thoughts went to my family who was still stuck in their sin. So I started to pray for my father. I prayed that he would change my dad just like he changed me. And then he did an amazing work. I prayed every day for 3 months straight. And then my father came and followed me in my new faith in Jesus Christ. But I didn't stop there. I prayed for my mom and my siblings. And one by one, they opened their hearts to Jesus Christ. And every time we got together as a family, we would talk about how we knew the one true God. And his name is Jesus. So my husband's testimony is kind of the fire and the drive behind why we do what we do. So when we went back to Cambodia in 2011, we spent 2 years there, and we were there as independent missionaries, doing a modgepodge of things, but mainly working with children. And when it was time to come home to the U.S., we were thinking we'd be home for a while, a couple years, we weren't sure. And when we came home, within 2 weeks, God had spoken to each of our hearts separately and said, "You're not supposed to be here, get ready to go back." And we were like, "Okay, we'll do that. And so we still weren't sure where to go or what direction we were going in. And so we pursued an organization down in Orlando called Pioneers. And they're an amazing, amazing mission sending organization. They have over 2,600 missionaries working with over 200 people groups all over the world. And we were just excited to come alongside them. We believed in what they believed in, and they were passionate about Jesus and the unreached. And so we went down in January 2014 to do some training and interview. You know, they want to make sure you're not like some crazy people believing in weird stuff. And so we went down to Orlando for that. And while we were down there, we met some missionaries with Pioneers working in Eastern Thailand, and they had been there for a couple years, and what God had put on their hearts was to mobilize for 6 new teams to go into the 6 most unreached provinces in Eastern Thailand. And if you can put the map up, you can kind of get a visual of where this area is. So Eastern Thailand is kind of that whole area that just kind of comes out to the east there. And one of the teams that they were focusing on was to the Khmer Surin people group. And the Khmer Surin people group are a people group of 1.4 million ethnic Cambodians living there in Eastern Thailand. And they began to tell us how they had taken a trip to this area of this people group, and they were asking people they had met on the street, where are the Christians? There are no Christians here. Where are the churches? Where do the Christians meet? No, there's no such thing. And they began to tell us how there were no missionaries there working among this people group in any way, shape, or form. No Thai, no American, no from anywhere in the world working with this people group. There are, out of 1.4 million Christian, or out of 1.4 million people, we know of one Christian. One known Khmer Surin Christian living in that area. And right away, I look over at my husband as we're having this conversation with this couple, and he's already on the plane. I'm like, see you later. Bye. Do you want to share about that?
Yeah, because we are planning to go back to Cambodia. But that time, God spoke to me so strong. That place that I called you not to stay here, to go back to this people group. And that I go back and tell her after dinner, I tell, God spoke to me so strong, go back to these people. And she said, no, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I don't want to learn a new language. And for me, I say, okay, whatever. And we start doing the process. And the next 2 days, and then I walk outside, and then she walked behind me and bawling. I say, hey, what's going on? Why you cry? Why you bawling? Take a deep breath, tell me. And she say, God spoke to me so strong to go back to that place. But I don't want to go.
That's why I was crying. It's because I didn't want to go.
And in that time, we know this is the direction from God and call our family back to do unreached group people. And we pray for 2 days, and we decide to obedient what God called us to do.
So, of course, I came to a crossroads, and not only did I have to make a conscious decision to obey what I felt the Spirit of God speaking to my heart, but also make a conscious decision to be genuinely happy and excited about this direction, new direction that God was calling us in. And so we decided to commit to this, and our leaders, our area leaders, were beyond excited. They had been praying for a Cambodian to join their team for many years, and they were like, you don't have to let anybody know, you know, higher up in leadership. He's like, they all know. They're already praying that you were going to join our team, so you're good. You're covered. And so they were just clearly very, very excited and anticipating what God will do with this people group. So the way Pioneers works is they work in teams, and you have to have 3 family units or more to be a team. So we're currently still praying to see who those other 2 family units might be who will be working with us once we get in that area. But God has moved in tremendous way in the past 16 months and since January 2014. I guess it's almost 17 months. And we are actually leaving in 10 days to get on a plane to fly to Thailand with our kids in tow, of course. And so we are committed to this Khmer Surin people group for 10 years is the commitment, the personal commitment commitment we've made to God for this, to be working with this people group. So we'll be there for 2 years, home for 6 months, back for 2 years, and so on. And so I just want to encourage you today with a scripture. So if you have your Bibles, or if we can put it up on the screen, the scripture from Isaiah, it's Isaiah chapter 6. And 6:1-8, and I'll just read it off the screen so we can read it together. But it was in the year of King Uzziah that King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a lofty throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having 6 wings. With 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 wings they covered their feet, and with 2 they flew. They were calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was filled with smoke. Then I said, "It's all over. I am doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched my lips with it and said, "See, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven." Then I heard the Lord asking, "Whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us?" I said, "Here I am. Send me." So that little phrase right there at the end is maybe one of the most popular sentences in the Bible. "Here I am, Lord, send me," right? But if we look at the background of this story with Isaiah and the vision that he had, we see that after he met with the king and saw his holiness and his glory, he was like, "Psh, forget that. Like, I, no way. Like, I am not even near good enough. Like, he's holy, I'm not, end of story." But what did God do? He took him, he cleansed him, and he set him apart for the work that he called him to do, to send him out to a people that needed to hear about the Lord, right? And I'm here today to say, he took me, and he cleansed me, and he made me whole, and he set me apart for his work. And you know what he's done with you? If you're in right standing with him, if you've accepted him, he's done the very same thing with you. And so even though he has called us to Eastern Thailand and it might seem, "Oh my gosh, it's so amazing." But you know what? He's calling you right now to Clio, Michigan. And you know why I know that? Because you're living here in Clio, Michigan. So right now he has set you apart. He's cleansed your lips. He's made you holy as if he's holy through the blood of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And he's set you apart for the work that you're doing right here, right now in Clio, Michigan. And maybe he'll move you like he moved us. Or maybe he'll call you in a new direction like he has with us. Mm. But will you be content serving him where you are? Will you be content knowing he has set me apart and made me holy for his work? And you know what that looks like? Sometimes it doesn't look how we think it might. But sometimes that means you are living your life out loud for Jesus, and whoever you're living life with, they know who you are. They know what you're about. And they know who you're serving. They know who your master is. They know you've been with the King. Mm-hmm. Because after people met Isaiah, they knew. They knew he was changed and he was different. So are you going to live your life out loud for the King? And are people going to look at you and say, "Man, they're different. Something's different. What's different? What do you have that I don't have?" Yeah. So I want to encourage you today to know that he has set you apart. He has set you apart for mighty work, just like he has for us. And it's only by his grace, and it's only by his amazing mercy on our lives that we could even be used for his glory. You know, when we were praying one evening with some friends as we were preparing to go to Thailand, one of our friends came to us afterwards and he said, "As we were praying, I felt like God gave me a picture. And it was like I looked up and I saw a giant machine. And it was dark and black and stagnant and dusty and you know, like that muggy feeling. And he said, and I looked down in my hands and I had a giant wrench that was red and burning with fire, burning with heat, like it had just been in the fire. And he said, and I saw that giant wrench lift up out of my hands and go to the machine. And as it got closer to the machine, it fit in perfectly with this giant bolt on the machine. And I saw the wrench start to move. And then all of a sudden, bing, 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 the machine started lighting up and moving. It was almost like a giant printing press, and it started moving with fluidity and grace and action, and it was just perfect. And he said, the Lord spoke to my heart and told me that you're that wrench for this people group, that all he's going to use you to do is just get it started. And that is it's awesome to have him confirm that in our hearts and in our lives, but it's also such a grateful feeling to think, I'm so grateful that we could even be just a small part of what he wants to do in this people group. So our goal when we get there is to start up an organic church plant movement, something that's alive and growing and thriving among this people group, so that 1.4 million people could at least hear the name of Jesus. They could at least know who Jesus was, because as of right now, they have absolutely no access to the gospel of Jesus Christ whatsoever. So we have a short 3-minute video for you to watch. It'll give you a little bit of idea of like what the area is like, and just share a little bit more about our vision for this people group. So is the video ready?
ក្នុងជីវិតរបស់ខ្ញុំព្រះជាម្ចាស់បានត្រាស់ហៅខ្ញុំដើម្បីឲ្យខ្ញុំចេញទៅប្រកាសដំណឹងល្អដល់គ្រប់ជាតិសាសន៍ទាំងអស់សម្រាប់ពេលវេលានេះព្រះជាម្ចាស់បានបង្ហាញផ្លូវដល់ខ្ញុំដើម្បីចេញទៅនៅប្រទេសថៃនៃខេត្តសរិនដើម្បីនាំប្រជាជននៅទីនោះដើម្បីឲ្យគេស្គាល់ព្រះជាម្ចាស់ជាពិសេសឲ្យនាំមនុស្សបាត់បង់ឲ្យគេប្រកបពន្លឺនៃសេចក្តីរុងរឿងនៃជីវិតរបស់គេ
Called us to Eastern Thailand, which is a region called Isan, to work with a people group called the Khmer Saran. And the Khmer Saran are ethnic Cambodians who have been in Eastern Thailand essentially forever, and they just moved the border south. And so you ended up with a million or so ethnic Cambodians in Eastern Thailand.
God and put strong in my heart to Khmer people.Around the world, and we pray, and then God spoke to us and go back to certain people.
God has called our family to go serve among them and preach the good news of Jesus Christ to their people group. We're really praying for people of peace to come along our path, that we could introduce them to the truth of Jesus Christ, to the hope that he offers their life.In a culturally and linguistically relevant manner, so they can understand who Jesus is and why he came and died for them.
People, I know they are like me before. They are looking for hope. They are waiting for people to tell them about Jesus, about the real God that can change their life, that give their hope, to tell them. Because I have experienced God changed me, and I believe God will change me too.
When I was 3 years old, there was a story all over the news, and I'm sure many of you remember it if you're a certain age or older. And the story was about baby Jessica. and she had fallen in a well. Do you guys remember that? And this story impacted me to the point, because I remember having nightmares actually when I was 3 years old. And, you know, if you think about wells, and if you fall deep into a well, because you know how wells nowadays, you know, they'll get overgrown with grass, and these people do accidentally fall in wells. So typically, when somebody falls in a well, they kind of get injured on the way down, some way, shape, or form, especially if the well is deep. And typically, the easiest way to pull somebody out of a well, because they can't climb out themselves, especially if they're injured, is to get a rope and anchor it, you know, maybe have some people tied around their waist, and somebody else climbs down in the well to pull the person up, right? It's like the easiest way to do it. And in our lives, it's almost like we've stood on the edge of Cambodia into Thailand, and it's like we've heard the cries of the Khmer Rouge people, and it's almost like they've fallen in a well and can't get out. And it's almost like they're just begging for somebody to tell them about the one true living God. And God has asked, who will go on my behalf? Who will go? And we've said, here we are, God. We're not much, but we can go. We'll go and try to be obedient to what you've called us to do. And today, my invitation to you is to anchor that rope, so we can climb down and pull them out, so they can at least hear the name of Jesus. So I want to ask you, will you be a part of what we're doing today? Will you be a part of what God has called us to do? Will you go with us and join us on this journey to Eastern Thailand and help share the gospel with 1.4 million people? Will you anchor that rope so that when we climb in, that rope is anchored? Will you pray when it might be hard to pray? Because sometimes if it starts raining or storming, you know, people might be like, I'm out of here. You know, and you might look around and the rope might start getting slippery and hard to hold, and you might be the only one holding it, and you might look to your right and your left and think, man, I'm not sure if I want to do this anymore. But I want to ask you today, will you be faithful in holding that rope for us? Maybe for you it'll be finances, maybe for you it'll be prayer. But we need people back here in the U.S. who love Jesus and love people, who will sit there and anchor the rope even when it gets difficult. So that's what I want to invite you today. I want to invite you on this journey with us and go with us to reach the Khmer Surin people group. So I want to invite Pastor Joey up now. We are really excited to go. I mean, everybody's like, oh man, you're so excited. We are excited. But it's also overwhelming and also hard to say goodbye. Now that our oldest is almost five, we have to help him walk through these goodbyes now too. And so it's a whole new part of our journey for us. And so we are getting ready to go, and we're excited about what God's going to do in this next chapter and journey in our lives.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing, guys. Let's give them a hand. And real quick before you take off, I don't know if this is coincidence or not, but Dale, can you put up the Isaiah passage, verse 6? I don't know if you guys caught this or not, but Isaiah's in the story, right? And he's unclean, and God sends an angel to cleanse his mouth, right, so that he can be changed. Do you see what he uses to cleanse his mouth? A pair of tongs.
Yeah.
You think that's coincidence? I think God wants to use a pair of tongs to cleanse the people of the Khmer Surin, you know, and to use you in a mighty way. And our leadership team has been praying this week about what, you know, how we could come alongside of you. And we've just begun our missions program, but we want to become partners with you, and we want to take you on for $50 a month.
Awesome.
And help you in that. And we're going to receive a love offering Now, Jason, if you would grab the buckets. And as a church, we want to be able to help them with their travel expenses. They are, again, leaving in just a couple of weeks. So anything that you want to give will go directly to them. If you would like to write a check, make it out to Vertical Life Church, and then in the memo, put for the tongs, and then we'll write one check collectively together and give to them. But we want to partner with you guys because we believe in what God has called for you to do, for sure. And so you guys can go ahead and have a seat.
Thank you so much.
And we will look forward to hearing what God is doing in your ministry.